Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 8th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
stocks in Asia tumble as U.S.-China trade tensions resurface.
Oil heads for its biggest weekly loss this year while Congress targets OPEC.
Hedge funds post their first monthly gain since July.
And Theresa May heads to Dublin in search of a breakthrough on Brexit.
Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos accuses the National Enquirer of blackmail and extortion. Plus, the Supreme Court blocks Louisiana restrictions on abortion doctors. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Islanders and Devils met in the Isles, wanted a shootout. The baseball world remembering Hall of Famer Frank Robinson, who passed away at 83.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at ibkr.com.
And U.S. futures are slumping as new concerns surface about trade talks with China. 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points this morning. Dow futures down 77. NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is little changed. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. So is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 2.64%. Yield on the 2-year 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 6 cents to $52.57 a barrel. COMEX gold is up about 0.1%, up a dollar to $13.1520 an ounce. The euro $1.1339 and the yen 109.85. Nathan.
Karen, stocks are sliding as President Trump says he is not likely to meet Chinese leader Xi Jinping this month. The president spoke with Bloomberg White House reporter Jennifer Jacobs.
I asked him, Mr. President, are you planning to meet with China's President Xi in the next month or so? And he said, not yet. No scheduled meeting planned for right now. And I said, but no intention to meet with him before the tariff deadline, though, right? And he shook his head and said no, and then added, unlikely.
That makes the prospect of a deal less likely before the tariff truce expires March 1st.
Also weighing on sentiment, a Politico report that President Trump will ban Chinese telecom equipment from U.S. wireless networks. Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini has details.
The word is the executive order could come before Mobile World Congress Barcelona. That starts February 25th. Meantime, Washington is threatening possible retaliation against countries that use Chinese equipment for certain infrastructure. Germany may be among the allies on the firing line here. We're hearing the country's government today ruled out an outright ban on Huawei. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Denise, thank you. And this is all weighing on global equities this morning, hitting stocks in Asia especially hard. Bloomberg's David Inglis reports from Hong Kong.
Nathan and Karen, Asian stocks fell the most since Christmas. The benchmark fell by 1%. Very light volumes, though, since mainland China, Taiwan, and Vietnam are among the markets still shut for the Lunar New Year holidays. And a further rally in the bond markets with yields across the region basically falling to levels last seen in 2016. Bucking the trend was Hong Kong, though, which reopened after a three-day break with the Hang Seng Index reversing losses early. In Hong Kong, I'm David Inglis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, David, thank you. U.S. futures also sliding this morning, and as trade weighs on stocks, it increases the chance of a deal. That's according to Guggenheim Chief Investment Officer Scott Minard.
We could actually do damage to the expansion if we don't get a deal done with China. So I think that the White House in particular is very focused on making sure some kind of a deal happens. Now, I don't know that that means that we're going to cut the tariffs by March the 1st, but I think the administration would be loath to escalate tensions right now.
U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin head to Beijing next week for the latest round of negotiations.
Oil is headed for its biggest weekly loss this year. It's down more than 5% on the week. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nate, record U.S. crude production is weighing on prices, reversing gains from last month. That's when OPEC cuts took effect. Meanwhile, Congress is moving forward with legislation that would allow the U.S. government to sue OPEC for inflating prices. Bills in both the House and Senate would subject the cartel to possible antitrust action from the Justice Department. Similar measures have been proposed in the past, with former presidents threatening vetoes. But President Trump could be more amenable to this, given his frequent Twitter attacks on OPEC. And checking oil prices right now, NYMEX crude down 8 cents at $52.57 a barrel. Brent is up 30 cents at $61.93. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Hedge funds last month posted their first positive return since July with a gain of 2.9% for January. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
Six out of seven strategies made money, according to preliminary numbers from the Bloomberg Hedge Fund Database. Event-driven funds led the pack, rising 5.4%. January's gain marks rare good news for fund managers. The industry had its worst performance last year since 2011, as many were unable to sidestep the volatility that pummeled markets. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Now on the Brexit front, Prime Minister Theresa May heads to Dublin today, continuing her search for a breakthrough on talks. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with details. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. With less than 50 days until Brexit, the UK PM is in Dublin today. She'll have dinner with her Irish counterpart, Leo Varadkar. On the menu will be talks about the contentious issue of the Irish backstop, how to prevent a hard border when the UK leaves the European Union. Yesterday, after tense meetings in Brussels, the British Prime Minister and the EU agreed to another deadline and further talks by the end of the month. But as the clock ticks down, the European Union insists it doesn't want to reopen the divorce deal. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. Back here in the U.S., it looks like Sears will survive for now. Chairman Eddie Lampert's $5.2 billion bid to keep the retailer alive was approved by a bankruptcy judge. The decision allows Sears to emerge from bankruptcy with about 425 stores and 45,000 jobs.
Now, some stocks we're watching in early trading. Shares of Expedia are up 7.5%. The online travel agent's profit and forecast beat estimates. Shares of Skechers are higher by 19% after earnings and guidance also topped estimates. And shares of Mattel are up more than 16%. Aggressive cost cuts help boost the toy maker's fourth quarter results. Futures on Wall Street are pointed lower. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is accusing the publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, of extortion and blackmail. Bezos says the tabloid threatened to publish revealing personal photos of him unless he stopped investigating its acquisition of other private images and messages. Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, detailed his interactions with the Enquirer's owner, American Media Incorporated, in a blog post. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker has agreed to appear before the House Judiciary Committee today, defusing, at least for now, a charged partisan debate over threats to subpoena him. Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz disagrees with the hearing, saying Democrats are more interested in asking Whitaker about the Russia probe, and Attorney General nominee William Barr will be confirmed shortly.
Matthew Whitaker is going to be a private citizen at some point next week when Barr is confirmed by the Senate. So it seems a little ridiculous to be conducting an oversight hearing with a guy who's going to be out of a job in a week. I think the real reason Democrats want Whitaker in is because they want to hurt Barr. And if they ask Whitaker questions and he provides answers and then Barr deviates in any way from what Whitaker says, then that's problematic for Barr down the road.
A divided U.S. Supreme Court blocked Louisiana from requiring abortion doctors to get admitting privileges at a local hospital. The four dissents were new Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, Justices Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch. Former Michigan Representative John Dingell, the longest-serving member of Congress, has died. Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee says the Democrat was a staunch advocate for the U.S. auto industry and civil rights.
John Dingell was a great American, a great man, and certainly a great congressperson, and a great legacy because his family had been involved in the United States Congress. If I recall correctly, he was actually a page. His father was a member of the United States Congress, and he truly upheld this institution with great love.
John Dingell was 92. France and Italy are facing their worst diplomatic crisis since the war. Bloomberg's Gregory Fascuzzi has more from Paris.
France called its ambassador back to Paris for consultations after Deputy Prime Minister Luigi Di Maio met members of France's Yellow Vest protest movement. France called that unacceptable meddling in domestic affairs. Di Maio said he was simply building alliances ahead of May's EU elections. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, first place Islanders, last place Devils in Newark. They went to a shootout into the fourth round before Josh Bailey scored. The Isles won 2-1. Rangers fans will be emotional tonight at the Garden. The 1994 team, the only Rangers to hoist the Stanley Cup over the last 79 years, will be honored 25 years after their title. Nets tonight host Chicago. Caris LeVert will play. He was Brooklyn's best player early in the season, then suffered a foot injury that was first believed to be season-ending. Nets yesterday traded for veteran big man Greg Monroe. The Knicks, before the trade deadline, cut ties with Enes Kanter and the just-acquired Wesley Matthews. They've become free to sign elsewhere. The Knicks, losers of 14 in a row, play tonight in Detroit. The Lakers did not make that big trade with New Orleans for Anthony Davis, so everything's on hold until this summer. Lakers then played in Boston.
Ingram to the rim, all the way to the basket, blocked by Horford. Ball's loose, grabbed by Rondo for the win. He got it! Rajon Rondo at the buzzer. A follow-away two-pointer. Lakers 129, Celtics 128. It's over on a game winner by Rajon Rondo.
Lakers radio the call. L.A. had once trailed by 18. College hoops, Hofstra's 20th win. The Pride won by 41. St. Francis beat Wagner. Hall of Famer Frank Robinson passed away at 83 after a battle with cancer. Broke in less than a decade after Jackie Robinson. Went on to win the NL MVP with the Reds, the AL MVP with the Orioles in 1966 when he won the Triple Crown. And Baltimore won the World Series again in 1970. In Cleveland, Robinson then became the first ever African-American manager. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we hear from the go-to guy for athletes looking for investment opportunities in tech. Mastery founder Rudy Klein-Thomas discusses players taking on their financial futures. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. Jeff Bezos is accusing the National Enquirer of blackmail. Bezos claims the paper's publisher, American Media, threatened to reveal personal photos of him unless he stopped investigating its acquisition of other private images and messages. Politico reports President Trump will sign an executive order banning Chinese telecom equipment from U.S. wireless networks. The U.S. also says any Western nation using Chinese equipment could face the risk of sanctions. Theresa May's Brexit battle continues in Dublin today after meetings in Brussels yesterday. Sources say May asked Jean-Claude Juncker and chief negotiator Michel Barnier for a time limit on the Irish backstop, but was rebuffed. And the Fed should worry more about low inflation than high inflation. That's according to St. Louis President James Bullard, who sees no reason for the central bank to hike. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Erin, thank you. And right now, S&P futures are down 9 points. Dow futures down 78. NASDAQ futures down 34. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.33% or 17 cents to $52.47 a barrel. COMEX gold, little changed, up 70 cents to $13.14.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1342, and the yen, 109.87. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court blocked Louisiana from requiring abortion doctors to get admitting privileges at a local hospital. It gives a reprieve to clinics as the justices consider whether to take up an appeal. Today is the day President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, will talk behind closed doors before the House Intelligence Committee. Cohen is a central figure in special counsel Robert Mueller's probe. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Devils in a shootout 2-1. The Capitals won in overtime. In the NBA, the Celtics lost on a buzzer beater to the Lakers 129-128. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. We're looking at oil this morning. Oil heading for its biggest weekly loss this year. And joining us now with more, Bloomberg oil reporter Alex Longley from London. Alex, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us this morning. Where is this market going to gain some footing?
Well, there's two contrasting forces in the oil market, and there have been for a few months now. On the one hand, we've got those OPEC production cuts. OPEC and its allies reduced output by the most in 2 years in January, and that saw that best January start to the year for oil ever. Then, on the other hand, we've got the news that we were getting yesterday, the trade talks, the global economic growth concerns. And every time we get a jittery headline about President Trump and Xi meeting, alleviating those demand concerns or not, as the case was yesterday, that's when you start to see oil get hit. And that's why we've had this week in the red this week. Until those headlines yesterday, oil was pretty much treading water. Then we get some bad economic news and the sellers come back and hit the market really hard.
How much of an imbalance is there right now between demand and supply?
Things have been shaping up pretty well, and actually the inventory balance is one picture, but also there's an imbalance between light crude and heavy crude. So the light crude that's produced in the US, we're seeing loads of that come onto the market with that rampant shale growth and record levels of production being set week on week. And then the other hand, the nations who are cutting production are people who produce heavy barrels. So the market's fairly well in balance at the moment. If you talk to physical traders, they'll tell you that demand is pretty much married up with supply. But it's this quality mismatch that we're seeing that's really starting to roil physical traders in the market, seeing supplies in the Middle East soar in price, US values come slightly lower. And that's the really interesting thing that's happened so far this year, is that when the refineries are looking to make things like gasoline and diesel to go in your car, they're having to assess where that supply is coming from.
All right, because the grades do matter. And you talk about the shale oil supplies from the United States. I'm going to toss this nugget into the conversation. Everybody listen carefully to this from a Bloomberg story. Last quarter was especially significant. It was the first time that U.S. cargoes went to S Oil Corporation. Now, S Oil Corporation, this is a unit of the Saudi state oil producer Aramco. The United States is selling oil to a Saudi-owned refinery. This was in, I believe, South Korea. That is pretty significant.
It shows the U-turn that's happened in the market. We had the headlines in December that the U.S. was a net oil exporter for the first time in 70 or so years. And it just shows how quickly and dramatically this market has turned around. And every time the Saudis go into cuts mode, they're losing their market share. And that's what the U.S. is stepping in to fill the void of. U.S. flows to South Korea in particular have been very strong in the last few months. And part of that as well is reportedly because of the trade war with China, the natural outlet would be to China, and those barrels have to find a home, and South Korea is the next best place. But it shows the path of US energy dominance on the market. And here in Europe as well, European oil traders have been talking lots in the last couple of months about the sheer volume of barrels that's coming over the Atlantic, heading to refineries in the UK, in Northwest Europe, and in the Mediterranean as well.
And let me throw this also into the mix, the global outlook on which oil is so dependent. When the U.S. and China trade dispute gets resolved, then there's the U.S. and the European trade front. We haven't even discussed that.
That's clearly another element. And I think for the moment, the market's sort of plenty fixated on the U.S. and China issue because there's a heck of a lot to be solved there. But clearly, this U.S. and China dispute, we had OMV CEO Rainer Seel in towards the end of last year, and he was talking about oil demand growth. He was very convinced that that would be less than 1 million barrels a day in 2019. And that's a massive contrast from this time last year when some of the big consultancies were talking about 2 million barrels a day of demand growth. So you're seeing a 50% decline in outlook there. And clearly, that economic trade dispute between the US and China is the thing that's weighing on this market, is the thing that has CEOs concerned. And the question over the next few months is how that pans out, and whether that can marry up with the extraordinary levels of growth you're seeing in the US as well. For the time being, we're on an even footing, but in the coming months, if you see rapid acceleration like we did last year in the US, things can deteriorate very quickly.
And with the economic situation in the US that's propping up the dollar, of course, oil is priced in the dollar, and that's not going to help things as well. Alex, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Bloomberg oil reporter Alex Longley from London this morning. And as we check the price of crude, NYMEX down 23 at $52.41. A Brent up 15, $61.78 a barrel. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, John. It's 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Asia are falling as President Trump says he is not likely to meet Chinese leader Xi Jinping this month. He spoke with Bloomberg White House reporter Jennifer Jacobs.
I asked him, Mr. President, are you planning to meet with China's President Xi in the next month or so? And he said, not yet. No scheduled meeting planned for right now. And I said, but no intention to meet with him before the tariffs deadline, though, right? And he shook his head and said no, and then added, unlikely.
And that makes the prospect of a deal less likely before the tariff truce expires on March 1st.
Meanwhile, Politico is reporting that President Trump's going to ban Chinese telecom equipment from U.S. wireless networks soon. That, plus concerns over trade, sent stocks in Asia sharply lower today. Bloomberg's David Finnerty reports.
It started in a pretty ugly mood today. We saw the Japanese markets falling pretty hard. And most of it is to do with Donald Trump not being able to meet President Xi, and also this idea that he may ban telecom companies from China entering the U.S. market. So all of that wasn't taken very well. And you're seeing a real demand for things like treasury bonds, people really going into the haven areas. And so we're ending the week on a pretty downbeat note.
Checking the trading in Asia, Japan's Nikkei dropped 2%, while Chinese stock markets remained closed for a holiday.
Crude heading for its biggest weekly loss this year as a slumping global growth outlook weighs on demand. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 20 cents to $52.44 a barrel. Brent is up 0.4% or 25 cents at $61.88.
Now in corporate news, Sears is back from the brink and will live on for now. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
Chairman Eddie Lampert's $5.2 billion bid to keep the once dominant retailer alive was approved by bankruptcy judge Robert Drain. The court decision seals Lampert's quest to initially preserve about 425 stores and 45,000 jobs. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Watching shares of Hasbro as it reports earnings down 1.4% right now in early trading. This after fourth quarter profit missed analyst estimates. Futures this morning are lower, down 11 points. S&P futures, that is. Dow futures down 93. NASDAQ futures down 38. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.64%. The yield on the two-year, 2.47%. COMEX gold is up about 0.1%, up $1.10 to $13.15.30 an ounce. And the euro, $1.13.40. The yen, 109.84. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com. Or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The world's richest man is in a war of words with the National Enquirer. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more on Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos and the publisher of the tabloid, David Pecker.
Bezos has accused the Enquirer and Trump friend David Pecker of extortion and blackmail. He says he will now self-publish photos of himself and TV personality Lauren Sanchez. He now says he's hired investigators to find out if the story threat was politically motivated. Bezos says he wants to know if the threats were an attempt to stop the Washington Post from publishing stories criticizing the president. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Supreme Court is blocking Louisiana from enforcing new regulations on abortion clinics. In a 5-4 vote, the high court will not allow the state to put into effect a law that requires abortion providers to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker will show up at today's hearing on Capitol Hill to address the House Judiciary Committee. There was some concern he would back out over a tentative subpoena over conversations he may or may not have had with President Trump regarding ongoing investigations. White House senior advisor Ivanka Trump says she is not concerned about special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Speaking to ABC, the president's daughter says she is not worried about further charges coming out of the investigation.
There's nothing there. Yet it's created weeks and weeks and months and of headlines. So no, I have zero concern.
U.S. Special Envoy to Venezuela Elliot Abrams says that several countries have offered to take in embattled Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro if he steps down from power. Elliot says Venezuela would not be able to move on toward a democratic regime if Maduro stayed.
Every day that Maduro remains in power is a day where political prisoners remain in jail, detainees are abused, and Venezuelans go without food and medicine.
New York City will ask agency heads to reduce spending across the board and deepen a partial hiring freeze as part of Mayor Bill de Blasio's $92.2 billion budget for the 2020 fiscal year. It sets a savings goal of $750 million. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Appreciate it, Michael. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Islanders, Devils in Newark, New Jersey got an early goal. Matthew Barzell is 16th of the year later in the first period for the Isles. It stayed 1-1 until the fourth round of the shootout.
Here is Josh Bailey, 2-for-7 this season. Bailey wide, back in. Islanders win!
What a good move by Josh Bailey as he put that puck on his backhand and then to the forehand.
Josh Bailey has scored 3 of the 4 Islanders shootout goals on the season, and remarkably, the Islanders have won 3 shootouts, including this one, as Josh Bailey gets the game-deciding goal.
MSG had the call. Rangers tonight host Carolina. They'll honor the 1994 Stanley Cup winners. Henrik Lundqvist will wear a mask that's a replica of what Mike Richter wore 25 years ago. Knicks are in Detroit. They've lost 14 in a row. They cut ties with the disgruntled Dennis Kanter and Wesley Matthews, who they just got from Dallas. The Nets have picked up veteran Greg Monroe from Toronto, and Caris LeVert will play tonight in Brooklyn against Chicago. He's been out since November with a foot injury. At the time, he was the Nets' leading scorer. NBA trade deadline came and went. Anthony Davis was not dealt. He'll play the rest of the season in New Orleans. Then a trade may occur. The two teams that want Davis the most are the Lakers and Celtics. They met in Boston. L.A. came from 18 down and won on a Rajon Rondo shot at the buzzer. Golf at Pebble Beach. American Scott Langley and Brian Gay share the lead. Phil Mickelson one shot behind. Phil put every one of his tee shots yesterday in the fairway. Hall of Famer Frank Robinson has died at 83. Only player to win MVPs in both leagues and later baseball's first ever African-American manager. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. President Trump has said he wants to tackle the nation's infrastructure, but he didn't offer any specifics in his State of the Union address. Lawmakers see that as a sign that if something is to happen, they'll need to initiate the plan. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The president may be eager for movement on infrastructure, but it will take money.
There's no agreement on Capitol Hill on exactly how you would pay for a big infrastructure bill.
Bloomberg Environment's Dean Scott says previously the president has suggested $1 trillion for improving roads and bridges, but lawmakers are not sold.
You know, let's just say for the moment that Congress could come up with $1 trillion for infrastructure. That kind of money isn't here unless you're going to add to the deficit even more.
So unless lawmakers are ready to raise gas taxes or implement more tolls, an infrastructure plan may be unable to gain traction. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Patrice Sikora.
All it took was a tweet from Elon Musk. The Tesla executive's praise for Daimler's Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van triggered talks between the two over possible cooperation on an electric version. After a November tweet by Musk, The two companies started sounding out possible prospects for a battery-powered van through a series of phone calls, and Daimler CEO Dieter Zetsche says the talks are happening and the outcome is open. The enthusiasm by Tesla's Musk was apparently spurred by feedback from company technicians. They use Sprinter vans to travel to customers requiring service. Daimler will start offering an electric version of the Sprinter later this year. The mid-sized van will have a battery range of 93 miles, maximum payload of about 2,200 pounds. It remains unclear if the potential project would involve joint development of a new vehicle or if Tesla technicians would switch to the upcoming battery-powered version. A decade ago, Daimler had a stake in Tesla. It sold that holding in 2014. That's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
Thank you, Patrice. It's 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Americans may be unaware of the dangers facing American Indian and Alaska Native women. More than half have been sexually assaulted. More than a third have been raped. And thousands have simply gone missing. One problem is that many tribal law enforcement departments are severely understaffed, yet need to police vast territories. Legislation to focus attention and resources on the problem has been reintroduced in the U.S. Senate. It would mandate annual consultations between U.S. attorneys and Indian tribes on sexual violence, training, and technical assistance for tribal police, and new rules for reporting crime data and responding to violent crimes. This would be a modest first step toward improving relations between tribal authorities and state and federal law enforcement, and funding tribal government efforts to protect women and girls. Congress should pass the legislation without delay. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials are heard every weekday at this time. Futures on Wall Street pointed lower. S&P futures down 10. Dow futures down 92. NASDAQ futures down almost 37 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving lower this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 125 points. S&P's dropped 15, and NASDAQ futures are now lower by 50. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.64%. Shanghai remained closed overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S., nothing to report on the economic front. And after the bell last night, Expedia EPS beat estimates. Shares are up 7.5% in the pre-market. And Mattel had its first EPS beat in 3 years. Shares are up 14% pre-market. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Hasbro EPS missed the lowest estimates, and shares are down 9% in the pre-market. Wrapping things up, Fiat Chrysler was downgraded to equal weight at Barclays. Grubhub was upgraded to buy over at Bank of America. And Archer Daniels upgraded to buy over at Stifel. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is accusing the National Enquirer and its publisher David Pecker of extortion and blackmail. Pecker is a longtime friend of President Trump. Bezos says the tabloid threatened to publish compromising photos related to his extramarital affair if he did not do as requested. The president's acting attorney general, Matthew Whitaker, will appear before the House Judiciary Committee, chaired by Democrat Jerry Nadler this morning. Whitaker said at first he wouldn't appear if he was subpoenaed. President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, will talk to the House Intelligence Committee behind closed doors today. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Devils in a shootout 2-1. The Capitals won in overtime. In the NBA, the Celtics lost on a buzzer beater to the Lakers. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal.
How did I end up right here with you?
That's Drake, and he's going to be at the 61st Grammy Awards this weekend. Drake and Kendrick Lamar are the favorites to win awards. Others such as Cardi B and Kacey Musgraves are also in play. Nathan, the Grammys air this Sunday.
Oh, do they?
I'm just
racking my brain to try to figure out just exactly how many of those artists I know. I mean, I do have kids, but yeah. Every year the Grammys come in, I feel just a year older.
I'm willing to bet that's the first time Drake ever aired on the Bloomberg Radio Network.
And it won't be the last, I'm
sure.
That's
true. It's 10. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios coming up on 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include continuing negotiations on border security to avoid another government shutdown a week from today unless a deal is reached. As Michael mentioned, Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker agrees to testify before the House Judiciary Committee. President Trump gets his annual physical this afternoon at Walter Reed, just outside Washington. And also making news this morning, the new twist in the ongoing feud between Jeff Bezos and President Trump, the Amazon CEO claiming he is a victim of a blackmail and extortion attempt by the publisher of the National Enquirer. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now. And of course, Kate, we do know about the background between President Trump and the publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker. They've got a relationship going back a long way. And now Jeff Bezos is coming out with this pretty stunning accusation.
Yeah, and I think that part of what makes it so stunning is not just the content of the accusation itself, but the fact that Trump has had a very fraught relationship with Jeff Bezos, that Bezos is someone that he has essentially instigated, a Twitter feud with, one of his many Twitter feuds. As recently as last month, he referred to him as Jeff Bozo on Twitter. I think that the sense is that the genesis of his, dislike of Bezos comes from the Washington Post's sometimes critical coverage of the administration. So I think that raised a lot of questions in people's minds about, the fact that this person that Trump has targeted on Twitter is being targeted by the National Enquirer.
And, I mean, this means something for the National Enquirer itself because of its history and its admission that it's paid for stories so that it could hold them back. And it's, reached a deal with the federal government as far as campaign violations.
Well, and this certainly could upend that because it sounds like, if Bezos' accusations are true and he was, they tried to essentially extort him or blackmail him, that certainly would be something that, likely would be, could easily be deemed illegal. And so I think that, it certainly throws a monkey wrench into that as well.
And I mean, what does this say about the ongoing dispute, though, between President Trump and the Amazon CEO? I mean, is this National Enquirer situation sort of masking that? Does it bring it to a whole new dimension? Where does it leave it now?
Well, I think it brings a whole new dimension to it. And I think that it's going to be really interesting to see, this morning and going forward, what Trump has to say, if anything, on Twitter and comments about this. I think some of us were speculating that, it might be really unwise of him to comment on Twitter at this point. But, we've seen him do things like that before where he kind of doesn't seem to be able to, help himself a bit. And so I think that there is always the potential, too, Trump could get himself into some hot water if he, fires off comments about this as well.
All right. Let's move on to the border security negotiations. They've kind of been going on, I guess, somewhat under the radar. Where do things stand now with appropriators on Capitol Hill?
Well, it sounds like Nita Lowey, who's the top top Democrat on the Appropriations Committee in the House, is expressing some optimism that they're going to get a deal together, a number of other appropriators as well. I think the thing is, though, that until something's signed, sealed, and delivered, not just from Capitol Hill, but gets sign-off from the White House, I think people are, myself included at least, pretty skeptical that something will actually be agreed to by all the stakeholders. I don't think anyone really wants another government shutdown, but they only have a week to go to sort that out. And, coming to a resolution on this border security question still seems like it might be a bit difficult.
Yeah, not just that, but Speaker Pelosi has said that today is a soft deadline, at least, to get an agreement in place so that they'd have time to drop a bill. I mean, is that at risk of coming and going?
Absolutely. And I mean, I always say that, you know, deadlines on Capitol Hill are made to be broken. So, you know, I mean, as you said, it's a soft deadline, something that Pelosi kind of put in place informally. But, you know, I think the reality is that the longer this goes without them, if today does come and go without them having a deal, it puts a lot of pressure. You know, the clock is really ticking now, and they will have less than a week to get something together. And, you know, the closer it gets to the deadline, the harder it's going to be to find a plan B if the White House and Trump don't sign off on whatever they come to agreement with.
All right. The countdown clock, as always, goes on. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It's 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Paniru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. In an ad-libbed moment in a State of the Union address, President Donald Trump said he wanted people to come to our country legally in the largest numbers ever. The remark wasn't in the prepared text of the speech. It breaks from Trump's previous position on legal immigration levels. In 2017, he came out for sharp cuts in legal immigration. In 2018, he threatened to veto a bill with $25 billion in border security funding because it didn't cut legal immigration. So Trump appears to have changed his mind. How serious he was either time is open to question. Last year, 14 Republican senators joined almost all Democrats to rebuff him on cuts to legal immigration, and he didn't even tweet about it. Immigration restrictionists are not too concerned about Trump's new statement, and immigration enthusiasts are not taking heart. Neither he nor his aides place a lot of weight on the words he says, and so few others do either. I'm Ramesh Paniru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
It's 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. small businesses founded by women tend to start smaller and grow more slowly than those owned by men, though female-founded firms are just as likely to survive. This is the conclusion of a report on small business enterprises, but a J.P. Morgan Chase Institute, which uses the largest U.S. bank's customer database to track economic trends. While women make up 36% of business owners, their companies start with revenue levels 34% below male-owned firms. The study also finds substantial differences in the gender of owners by sector. Women more likely to own service enterprises, with more than half of small firms in personal services, while men dominate in construction, metal and machinery, and high-tech manufacturing industries. And that, Karen, is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. We're watching shares of Coty this morning among the most active in early trading, up more than 21% after second quarter profit and revenue beat analyst estimates. And we're still watching Hasbro down about 8.5% this morning. It's still feeling the pain from the loss of Toys R Us, which finished shuttering its U.S. stores last summer as fourth quarter revenue fell 13%. From a year earlier. Futures this morning are also falling. S&P futures down about 16 points. Dow futures down 137. And NASDAQ futures are down 56. Straight ahead, it is Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.